The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but too many Christians, and too many conservatives for that matter, are speaking out against Obama's precious health care. Doesn't this make these people uncompassionate? Well, here's another way to look at it. Maybe it just makes them wise. President Obama insists that his health care policy would not destroy the private market and turn us toward a single-payer system. If you like your own insurance company, you may keep it. He insists this with the same charisma that mesmerized well-intentioned suckers into voting him into office. When Obama makes such a comment, he is lying through his teeth. Now, maybe some would suggest that I be more generous and imply that Obama is seriously misguided. Maybe he does not intend to deliberately fabricate the truth. After all, he admitted in a press conference that he had not actually read the bill, and neither has Congress. Well, that's a marvel in its own right, and one must wonder why they are in such a hurry to pass a bill that nobody has read. Could it be because they see the reaction of people when details about this monstrosity leak forth their sticky trap-style substance like the La Brea tar pits? Many decent Americans detest a country that would deny certain procedures to senior citizens all the while paying for abortions. Now, folks, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is what the bill actually says. Say what you want about Obama. The man is not stupid. I wish I could say the same for those who keep defending him. And I don't mean to be unkind here because, let's face it, we all do stupid things from time to time in our lives. But I got to tell you, those who continue to follow this Pied Piper must sooner or later take responsibility for what their hero is doing to this country. Here it is. Obama is too smart to believe his own words and talented enough to say them with a straight face. So, we can continue with our own private insurance, eh? How? How exactly? First, the government offers cheaper insurance. Even if some want to pay more for their own, many will abandon their own and go for the cheaper one. You know that. I mean, this isn't rocket science. What happens to private health care after they begin to lose business to the government? That's right. You guessed it, their premiums go up even more. This finishes off those who initially wanted to hold on. Now you are paying for your own expensive health care and everyone else's at the same time. Who is going to continue paying for two policies when they can cancel at least one of them? Nothing is free, Johnny. Where exactly did you think Obama was going to get money for nationalized health care from? Your tax dollars, that's where. Add in the fact that businesses will be forced by law to insure all employees or pay their own stiff stipend. When forced to insure everybody, I wonder which insurance an employer will pick. The expensive or the inexpensive government plan? The fact that many companies will simply go out of business is another chilling effect of national health care, but that's a subject for another day. Are you catching on? You're catching on. Nobody is going to pay for their own insurance and everyone else's at the same time. The private providers simply cannot stay in business. Obama is wise enough to know this. It's time his supporters wised up as well. But he has a few advocates who are good at destroying wisdom. Advocates like the mainstream media. For example, Sonia Sotomayor passed the Senate Judiciary Committee by a 13-6 vote. Here is how CNN ran the headline across our television screens. Six Republican senators vote against first Latino woman Supreme Court nominee. Isn't that wonderful? Don't they know the difference between a news headline and an editorial? For the record, one Republican on the committee, much to my disappointment, voted in favor of Sotomayor, Senator Lindsey Graham. The others were concerned about her controversial comments, not the least of which is a view that the Constitution is a living, breathing document and should emulate international law. But that's not how the liberals spin this stuff. In their minds, those evil, bigoted Republicans cannot handle a Latino woman on the Supreme Court. This thoughtless, irresponsible statement is banking on the hope that most people are too infantile to see the truth. Nomination to our highest court in the land couldn't possibly be characterized with legitimate legal concerns. Instead, all the complexities are reduced to stone clubs. There is no more right or wrong, only white or Latino, only male or female. Incidentally, where was our liberal media when Democrats objected to the Republican appointment of Alberto Gonzalez? A word to the wise for CNN. It's a free country, so you just go ahead and report the news any way you like. Only one thing, from now on, you really should pipe down against the bias of Fox News. Not every American is as brainwashed as you think. And yep, there's even more. Another blindfold being pulled over our eyes. As you know, I do a daily blog on townhall.com. You can read them every day by going to bobsiegel.townhall.com. Last week, I wrote about two new Obama appointees, and I want to read my blog to you out loud. This is from July 27th, 2009. It's entitled, Let's Just See What a Little Research Does. Here's my blog. Today's is a different kind of blog, a grand experiment, as a matter of fact. Not that the subject matter won't be familiar, it's the writing style which will be unique. You see, President Obama recently appointed two Muslims to Homeland Security. Inasmuch as militant Islam is the enemy, do I even need to make a comment here? Stop right there. Before you lecture me on how many Muslims are peaceful, how I should resist the temptation to stereotype, and how I should not assume that these are terrorist Muslims, let me explain the experiment. Unlike my other blogs, I have not yet done any research into the lives of these two individuals. In fact, I do not even know their names. Instead, I am including you in on my investigative process. I will look into the details of the appointees and get back to you with tomorrow's blog. No, I do not expect them to have terrorist ties, at least not direct terrorist ties. Even Obama couldn't be that stupid. But here is what I am expecting to find. I am going to look up any comments they have made about the Israelis and Palestinians. You see, this is the subject where Muslim Freudian slips reveal their true view of terrorism. If they have justified the actions of the Palestinians, if there are any moral equivalency arguments about how Israel is also a terrorist nation, then we will know that these are not peaceful Muslims. We will also know that they have no business being on Homeland Security. With God as my witness, I know nothing at the time of this writing, but I am quite confident about what I will find. See you tomorrow. Okay, those were my words last week on my Town Hall blog, July 27th, 2009. Here's what I discovered, kids. First, the two new appointees to Homeland Security are Arif Alakhan as Assistant Secretary for Policy Development and Karim Shora for Homeland Security Advisory Council. Alakhan is a devout Sunni Muslim affiliated with MPAC, Muslim Public Affairs Council. This organization describes itself as a public service agency working for civil rights of American Muslims, for the integration of Islam into American pluralism, and for a positive, constructive relationship between American Muslims and their representatives. Doesn't that sound nice? MPAC claims a desire to coexist peacefully with Christians and Jews. However, and it's a significant however, interested parties may help themselves to a few facts. First, MPAC's senior advisor, Mahir Hathout, has close ties to the terrorist organization Muslim Brotherhood and accepts the most violent faction of Islam called Wahhabism. Not only does Wahhabism openly, unabashedly, unapologetically practice jihad, this movement was influenced by real, honest-to-goodness Nazis during the days of World War II. After 9/11, when the Palestinians began the Second Intifada, MPAC broke off its ties to the Jewish community and made public statements condemning Israel for retaliating against the violence. Such violence, you will recall, included terrorists blowing up civilian buses and killing innocent women and children. MPAC holds Israel 100% responsible for all Middle East violence. MPAC openly opposed Bush's military campaigns in Afghanistan and Iraq. In 1999, MPAC supported Hezbollah's 1983 bombing of the American military barracks in Lebanon. Now, I could continue with more, but I need to save some time to talk about the other appointee. In a CNN interview, Karim Shura urged the United States to stop shipping arms to Israel. This statement is tame compared to the organization he represents. Shura was the head of ADC, American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. Here is some dope on ADC. They have a warm association with anti-Israeli professor Rashid Khaladi, but then so does Obama. No big surprises here. ADC's public policy is anti-Israel. ADC has openly opposed many anti-terrorist measures in the United States and has lobbied against the Patriot Act. In 1994, then-president of ADC, Hazmi Maghari, responded to Hamas suicide bombings by saying, "I will not call Hamas a terrorist organization." In 2000, the new ADC president, Hussein Abish, called Hezbollah a disciplined and responsible liberation force. Oh, people, what fine additions these gentlemen make to our Department of Homeland Security. I want to say something clever here. But somebody beat me to the punch years ago. The fox is watching the hen house. Instead of being protected from Islam, we are being indoctrinated about Islam. And who indoctrinates better than our own Smiley Miley?
Hey, kids. You all know what it's like to have a fire drill or an earthquake drill. And I know you've grown to love those little drills, especially when the bell goes off in the middle of a math test. Well, this year, boys and girls, we're going to try something special. A new kind of drill. It's called the Jihad Drill. Do you know what a jihad is? It's a holy war. I'll bet you didn't know a war could be holy. Holy wars used to be fought with swords, but that was in the olden days. Today, they use bombs instead. Therefore, when the bell rings for a jihad drill, it means somebody has set off a bomb at your school, or at least delivered a bomb threat. Yes, jihad drills are important, but that doesn't mean we're against jihads. After all, jihad is a practice of the religion of Islam, and we must never object to a religious practice unless the practice includes a cross or a Christmas tree. Crosses and trees suppress people's rights. But the spread of jihad is merely the spreading of peace, because Islam is the religion of peace. How do we know it's a religion of peace? Because Muslims tell us it's a religion of peace, silly. Oh, sure, once in a while they kill in the name of their religion, but Christianity did the same thing 1,000 years ago. Besides, we wouldn't have jihads at all if your mommies and daddies weren't driving those gas-guzzling SUVs. The nice Muslims are merely trying to teach the oil-sucking Americans a lesson. So if one of your little playmates gets blown up with a bomb, don't blame religion, because that's not nice. And don't blame people, because that's not nice. Just blame your SUVs. SUVs aren't alive and you can't hurt their feelings, and they aren't as important as people. But SUVs run on oil, and too much oil drilling is bad for the environment. It kills trees, and trees are as important as people. It's wrong to drill for oil in America, but it's okay to drill for oil in Muslim countries. See the difference? But it's wrong to buy too much oil from Muslim countries, because all that money makes the nice Muslims want to go on a jihad. And that's why we have jihad drills. So let's review. We have fire drills, earthquake drills, and jihad drills. The next time somebody insults Muslims and tells you they haven't added any traditions to our culture, you can just remind them about the jihad drill. That's all for this week, kids.
Your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
Call Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
The sound. You're more beautiful.
Welcome back to Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. My guest today is Dran Reese from the Salt and Light Council, located right here in San Diego. The Salt and Light Council exists to build a network of churches to defend and advance family values through truth, action, and change, establish a common foundation between churches on fundamental moral issues, train and equip church leadership to have an active Salt and Light ministry affiliate, provide legal and pastoral support, be a complete resource for starting and maintaining a Salt and Light ministry affiliate, measure public policies and legislation from a biblical perspective, provide newsletters, action alerts, or petition drives as necessary for each Salt and Light affiliate on a timely basis, engage churches to take action together on the same issues at the same time in hopes to reverse this moral decline, and to change policies and government leadership to be more family-friendly, clarify God's biblical non-negotiable, I love that phrase, biblical non-negotiable moral values, and provide resources in education. Dran Reese, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Bob.
Hey, I just have to ask you this before we start. Dran is a very unusual name. What's the ancestry behind that name? I've never met anybody named Dran. It's a pretty name, but I've just never met anybody with that name before.
No, thank you. Well, I actually really have not liked my name all of my life. I wish I could have been named anything but Dran.
Oh, you should try Siegel as a last name. I had to grow up with, hey, Siegel, hey, go Siegel. Fly away. Even though it's not spelled the same.
Well, I grew up with Drano.
Oh, no.
Nard.
Well, see, here I thought it was a nice name, and I'm opening up a wound. Do you know what the ancestry is?
It's actually Hungarian. But it's really a family name, I guess you might say. My mother's name is Anne, my sister's name is Pam, and I'm Dran.
Oh, my gosh. Anne, Pam, and Dran.
Right.
Okay, well, listen, let's start a little bit with your testimony and background. What led you to Jesus Christ in the first place?
Oh, the love of my life, Jesus Christ. Well, my journey, I think I'm a confirmed Christian. I was thinking about that. It's been only 10 years now. However, I did grow up hearing the word Jesus Christ, but our family did not go to church. So I really did not know who the real Jesus Christ was. But what really brought me to that is when I had my children. When I put my little son, Trevin, in my arms, and I looked down at him when I was able to, I just remembered thinking, something greater than me just happened here.
Yeah, that's such a miracle in that birth process.
It is. It's truly a miracle. And what that did is it started opening the doors and the questions to, I had been a seeker, but of every other religion except for Christianity, because frankly, now that I look back, it was just too darn hard and I didn't want to read the Bible. Yeah. It was a massive undertaking. I did have a Bible next to my bed, but I'd open it and I really didn't understand. And I didn't know that there were easier versions out there to read. So, you know, I just really just opened it when I was in serious times of trouble. But other than that, I think I tried my hand at being a Buddhist. I tried my hand at, I took a religion class in college, and they made us go out and experiment with different religions, and not once did they discuss Christianity in that religion class.
Oh, yeah. These religion studies classes are not nearly as open as they try to let out.
No, they're not at all. I think, in fact, they're anti-Christian.
Oh, they are. They very much are. The day they discuss Christianity, they tear it apart.
They do.
But they won't let anybody tear apart the other religion.
They do. And I certainly didn't walk out of that class one step closer to becoming a Christian. But putting my son in my arms really did change things. And then I really started to open up to...
Did you seek out a church at that time after your...
Well, I used to be in the garment industry, and I would go to the different people that I worked for. I was a consultant, and I would go from job to job to job. And one of the questions that I would ask my Jewish friends is, how come you don't believe in Jesus Christ? And they would say to me, well, what do I need a middleman for? And I love that statement. I always used to think about it because originally I decided that I wanted to be Jewish because I thought, well, hey, if you can go straight to God, why can't I? I mean, what's the big deal? If they can do it, why can't I? Still, again, not really understanding who Jesus was.
Yeah, because he was God, so you're not exactly going through the middle anyway.
Right. Yeah. So after my son was born, I really started to question whether, what was the truth? Really, what was the truth? So I did the unthinkable. I put God to the test. And knowing that now, I wouldn't do it exactly the same way nor recommend it, but I just said, Jesus, if you want me to believe in you, then I need for you to send me Jesus by the Red Sea, before I knew that it was Moses by the Red Sea. And so...
Jesus by the Red Sea, meaning a miracle as powerful as the Red Sea?
I wanted to see Jesus by the Red Sea. Well...
Oh, you mean you wanted to see it in a vision of some sort?
I didn't know what I wanted, but I'll tell you what I got. 2 days later, in the mail, I got the Unity magazine.
Oh, my goodness.
And on the front cover, in red, was the picture of the ocean, and there was Jesus with his arms outstretched
wide. So God used this magazine from some cult that he doesn't even have anything to do with, but he was creative enough to have it mailed to you.
Creative enough. He loved me that much.
This shows that God can use anything.
He loved me that much. But then there were two more very quick ones.
Sure.
And my favorite one of all is that I was in bed at night next to my husband, and I heard my name, Dran, and I bolted up out of bed and looked around the room, and I started jabbing my husband, wake up, what do you want, what do you want? And he was dead asleep. And I sat, as I was sitting upright, my head scanning the room for somebody. I am not kidding you, Bob, but I do believe that I was called by God that evening.
I believe that those kinds of things have happened to me. There are all kinds of cases in the Bible where God spoke to people audibly, yes, and from their bedrooms, too. That happened exactly to Samuel. He heard a, yes, voice at night in the bedroom saying, yes, Samuel, Samuel. Yes. So God must like your name. He shouted Dran loud and clear.
He did, and I do feel that I at the moment, though,
that must have made you like your name a little better after that evening.
Well, now I really like my name a lot. Yes, now that I know he knows it.
He knows your name. Wow. Now, what got you involved with Salt and Light?
Salt and Light, well, kind of a kick in the rear. And it started by my reading several books, and one of the books that I read was called The Marketing of Evil by David Coop Lane, and it's a book that I highly recommend your listeners
read.
The
Marketing of Evil?
Yes.
David
Coop Lane.
K-U-P-L-A-I-N,
okay, or L-E-I-N. But what this book does is it drills down the 12 major issues or social issues in our country that are undermining our moral foundation, and he does it in such an explicit way. And right out of the gate, chapter one is the homosexual agenda. It threw me for a loop as to what is happening with the homosexual agenda.
Now, let's just stop for a moment, because a lot of people would say, well, I don't believe homosexuals have an agenda. I believe they just want the same liberties as the rest of us. What to you is the homosexual agenda? Because I think this is very important for people to understand.
Right. And I don't profess to be an expert in the homosexual's agenda, but quoting, or certainly from the book, which anyone can read in chapter one, which really changed my mind, was that homosexuals don't like to be called homosexual.
They like would to be called gay.
They prefer to be called gay. And what they did is, as many organizations do, they sat around a round table one day and decided, how can we change the stigma of our name?
Yeah, it's kind of like when the Coca-Cola company came up with Coke is it. It probably took them 6 months. So there's a lot of power behind words and phrases.
There really are. And this word homosexual had to be changed because it did have so many connotations of illicit behavior. And
yes.
So anyway, they came up with the word gay, which I feel has been hijacked. I frankly feel the word gay has been hijacked.
It used to be a very nice name.
It was, yes. So now if you call someone gay, it's you know,
means something totally
else. So anyway, with the fact that they actually had a marketing plan, they sat down to figure out how to market gay rights, and the word rights is also something that they attached to it. It made me think they are bent on pushing their agenda. And
they
definitely
have an agenda. We'll talk more about what their agenda is. My guest, Dran Reese from Salt and Light Council, will be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ. My special guest today, and we're delighted to have her, is Dran Reese from the Salt and Light Council. Dran, we were talking about the true agenda behind homosexual legislation. What do you feel that that is?
Well, again, the homosexual agenda really wants to promote alternative lifestyles. And, you know, they really believe in what they do, and they believe that they are born this way. And really, I do have much sensitivity for them. It's very difficult for them to be in this position and in this lifestyle. And I have lots of compassion for those that are homosexual. And it's challenging as to be sensitive for them, because they are sure about their position and sure that they are born this way and that there's no way out. And we as Christians know that there certainly is a way out, and that they just need to, you know, to be open to allowing Jesus to be part of their life. But since they aren't, they have their agenda, and it is what they're trying to do with it is to legitimize their agenda in every avenue of life. And that really, it has gotten so bad that I don't know if you, well, I'm sure you know very well, SB 777 just 2 years ago was signed into law by Governor Schwarzenegger here in California, which made it where kindergartners now are being taught that there are other alternative mommies and daddies. You can have two moms, you can have two dads, and that bathrooms, even in the public school system, are now open to students if they come to school that day and decide that they are a different sex.
Well, I've heard some teachers are even dropping the term mom and dad because it's offensive to transgender families. And it, you know, there's such a disingenuousness, because when people were talking about Prop 8, they were saying, well, it's not just about legalizing marriage, because if you give an inch, they're going to take a mile. And next thing you know, kids are going to be educated about this in kindergarten. The gay militant community vehemently denied that that would happen, but it's already been happening. That's what's so interesting. They were denying what would happen in the future. It's already happening in the present. It seems that not only did they hijack the word gay, but they hijacked the word tolerance. I think part of their agenda is that they're very intolerant of people who have a different opinion of their lifestyle. Obviously, even though I don't agree with their lifestyle, people are free in America to believe whatever they want. Right. They don't seem to want to extend those same freedoms our direction. And some of these laws, like hate speech legislation, hate crimes legislation, they're out to actually limit and curtail our free speech.
That's pretty much it. And I think the homosexual agenda is right up there with one of the, you know, top one or two issues, maybe three issues in America that we face that undermine the traditional family. I, for one, do not, these radical militant homosexuals that you're talking about are not the quiet ones that stay home and keep their sexuality to themselves.
That's right. They're not really representing most gay people, in all fairness to most gay people.
Right, right. And many gay people actually did vote for traditional marriage.
They did vote for Proposition.
They did,
yes.
Because they understand that that this is the historical makeup of the family, and it is good for society to have this type of traditional one mom, one dad, since really it does take a man and a woman to create any living life.
Well, and if we human. Look at ancient histories such as Rome, we find that when the family breaks down, eventually the entire nation breaks down.
Right, and that's what we are starting to see here in the United States.
Absolutely.
And we really have to do something to reverse that. I, unfortunately, am very disturbed by some of the images that I see coming from the homosexual agenda and their parades, for example. I was on a family trip with my family to New York a few years ago, and silly me, before I really got involved in understanding the issues, and I'm doing so, by the way, to say this, as a mom. And as a member of society here, it is, I really am not going to leave this planet until I've done the best job I can to fight these issues that are here, because we have fallen asleep at the switch. But anyway, we were in New York and there was a church there, and we wanted to go to church. But it was on the other side of the street and there was a parade. And so I said to the family, oh, come, let's go see what the
parade
is. It's a parade.
Yeah,
yahoo.
Yeah, yeah.
And my husband said, don't you see the rainbow? And I went, yeah, so what?
That's not Noah's rainbow you're looking at.
Well, what was disturbing to me is the fact that the images of the men in the parade behaving as women. I think if the homosexuals really want to move their agenda, then, you know, dressing up in garments that are sexual in nature and almost obscene and pornographic, and then parading through the streets is really not a way to inspire and invite traditional families into their lifestyle. I mean, that's just from a marketing standpoint. They might want to sit down and rethink their own agenda.
Yeah, that's a good observation. Also, when homosexuals play out male and female roles, it almost subtly reveals the fact that they do see something natural about a man and a woman. They do the same thing in lesbian relationships.
Right.
They act out the more passive and aggressive role.
Right.
So you said you're kicking the pants that got you interested in Salt and Light was originally the gay agenda. What happened next as you moved towards Salt and Light Council?
Well, what happened after that is that I took that book and would run to the front of my church and ask my pastors, have you read this book? And then I'd read another book that had something to do
and
with the social.
Had they read that book?
No. And one day, one of the pastors, or actually two different pastors at different times, came to us and said, why don't you start a Salt and Light ministry here at our church? And I said no at first, but then they talked me into it. Actually, because of Senate Bill 777, we were trying to get petitions signed. We were backtracking at that point. We didn't realize that Schwarzenegger had done this underneath, you know, without the knowledge of families. And this is what happens, is legislation gets passed without us knowing it. So now there are many organizations that are much more vigilant about being up there on Capitol Hill and trying to bring information to us about the issues so that we can handle them before they get onto the Senate floor and are voted on. And here's, the hate crimes bill is another one. I mean, look at how far that one has gotten. And this last time they tried to pass this one through on a military bill.
Well, in fact, that's my understanding is the House of Representatives passed the hate crimes bill, but in the Senate they are trying to tack it in to a military bill, which has nothing to do with the body of the bill, so that conservative Republican senators will not want to go home and tell their constituents that they didn't vote for the military.
Right.
And it just seems extremely dishonest.
Well, of course it's dishonest, and I believe these things are unconstitutional. And I think as a nation, we need to start demanding our rights. I think it's about time that we stop being unconscious in our actions. And I sort of liken it to driving along a freeway, and you are out there in the roads, and you're just driving, and you're enjoying the drive, and you don't realize that your foot's going a little bit too fast, and before you know it, you're being pulled over by the police. It's because you're unconscious when you're driving, and now you have to reap the consequences of being unconscious. And this is what has happened a lot in our nation in the last 20 years as we've watched our rights erode right in front of our eyes, and now we really are in a sinkhole.
We are. Well, we'll talk more about this sinkhole and how to get out of it when we return. Dran Reese of the Salt and Light Council. We'll be right back.
How many times have you heard the phrase, "they're all the same," applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home? Or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work, completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jim Bell, said, "When people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuilt." For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuiltInc.com. That's ProBuiltInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuilt.
I'd like to remind all of my listeners that the Bob Siegel Show has a sister program on our sister station, KPRZ 1210 on the dial. Every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30, you can hear City Voice. On this provocative program, my good friend George Runyon interviews a different local Christian ministry every week. You can listen to the show while driving to church, and don't be surprised, you may find it so interesting that you'll stay in the parking lot continuing to listen and skipping those Sunday school donuts. That's City Voice with George Runyon, every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30 on our sister station, KPRZ 1210. But right now, you're listening to KCBQ 1170. Welcome back to our program. I'm joined today by Dran Reese of the Salt and Light Council. If you have a question for Dran or for me, if anything about the subject, something you want to jump in on, toll-free number is 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We already had a person call in. They didn't want to come over the air, but they want some help writing a book. So somebody out there is interested. Dran, is Salt and Light national also, or is it located just here in San Diego?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, the Salt and Light ministries or affiliates that are cropping up in churches actually was started many, many years ago, and it is all across the nation.
Okay, so this is just one San Diego chapter.
Right. At my church, we have an affiliate, but Salt and Light Council is actually a coalition of churches that got together to try to weed through the plethora of information out there. What's really happening is that there's way too much information, and the average person out there is overwhelmed. They sign up for action alerts. They get them from American Family Association, Concerned Women for America, Capital Resource, California Family, and on you go. And you get these screaming emergencies that are coming across your email, probably to the tune of hundreds and hundreds of month. And after a while, it exhausts people. So what we are endeavoring to do with the Salt and Light Council is to unite churches and then come together on only three or four issues that are handled by Salt and Light Ministries, which is a table set up in your courtyard at the church that hands out the information on these issues. The pastor can then speak on them because legally it's all right to speak on it. We have run this through our legal staff. And we're developing a uniformity now in the churches where we're beginning to take action. And really, this all comes out of Proposition 8 here in California, where
There has been more interest in salt and light in California since Proposition 8 than there was before.
Oh, in a big way.
You think that kind
way.
Of woke people up, kind of woke up the sleeping giant?
I have to say, I think that's exactly what was needed to wake up the pastors and wake up this nation. We are under assault, and it's not going away. We only won Proposition 8 by 3 percentage points, and how on earth can anybody possibly rest on that?
And yet it was a miracle because all the greatest pundits on TV were saying there's no way we'll win. Hollywood's right. not behind it.
Right.
So
and
the
we,
fasting and prayer made a big difference.
I think the 3% are those praying people out there. And I know this for a fact. You had the Mormons who came up with millions of dollars plus, I think it was close to 40,000 foot soldiers out there, people. You had the Catholic Church that came up with the money and a directive from the parish, everybody get out and vote. But where were the evangelicals?
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because bless those Mormons. I don't agree with a word they teach, but they really helped carry the day with this. And the evangelicals were always screaming that they're the ones that have the truth and they're the ones that are more biblically balanced. Where were they? I mean, we had the Jim Garlows
right.
and people like that, but
right.
where were a lot of the others?
Right, and I think that is what has awakened the Salt and Light ministries out there to join together under the umbrella of the Salt and Light Council, and also new Salt and Light ministries are cropping up, and we're training them to be effective and to get onto the network so that we are all taking action at the same time on the same issue. Now, that's what's important here, is that there are too many issues out there, and when you fragment the few people out there that are willing to take action, spreading them around so thin, it makes no sense. But as a unit, as a group of churches, evangelical churches, that's what I feel called to do, or my husband and I actually are both in this ministry together, feel called to do, which is to unite those churches back together and also wake them up, if it is at all possible, those that weren't engaged on Prop 8 until the 11th hour. Because, again, we almost lost by 3 percentage points. We may not be so lucky next time.
That's absolutely true. How many churches across the country carry a Salt and Light ministry right now, or approximately?
Well, across the country, I'm going to probably have to say thousands.
That's wonderful. And how many in California?
Oh, I would have to say probably now we're down to the hundreds.
And what about San Diego area itself? Not just the city, but the greater San Diego area.
The greater San Diego, I'm going to say we're about 30.
About 30. Now, yes. If a church decides they want a salt and ministry.
A salt and light.
Salt and light ministry.
Right.
What does that look like exactly?
Yes. Well,
I know part of it includes, like you said, being in the courtyard with a table with information. What else?
Right. Well, we actually follow the acronym PETER. And
well,
it was
a good acronym.
It is. And actually, God is good, because when you think of 1 Peter and 2 Peter, 1 Peter was all about the persecution that Christians
sure
will endure.
Was. It
yes.
sure was. Yeah.
And 2 Peter is about the hypocrisy in the church.
Yeah.
So I find that kind of interesting. But in any event, Peter, P, stands for pray. We pray, because that's what we need to do. We are called to pray for our elected officials, our state, nation, and world, and on these issues. So we do that monthly. We prepare prayers for all of the churches to pray with us in unison on specific issues. E, we educate on biblical authority, on the secular worldview versus biblical worldview, and most of all, and most important, what we call God's non-negotiables. And you mentioned
yes,
that before.
Yes, I love that phrase, God's non-negotiable morals.
Yes, and that word is starting to take off, because this is God. The non-negotiables are really the catalyst for how we can begin to view future candidates, take action on issues. The non-negotiables really are five. And some people out there may or may not know about these, but these five issues trump all other issues when voting for a candidate.
And what are those five issues?
Yes, they are marriage, traditional marriage between a man and a woman, abortion, or actually sanctity of life.
Right.
And under sanctity of life is stem cell.
Infanticide.
Yes, euthanasia, cloning. So those five, did I miss one? Those are the five. Same-sex marriage, abortion, embryonic stem cell, euthanasia, and human cloning.
Okay, so many of them are related to abortion, but they're also in separate categories.
Right, and really you could even drill it down even more to two, which is sanctity of life, which holds in its hands euthanasia, stem cell, cloning, and abortion.
And then sanctity of family.
And then the sanctity of family.
That's wonderful.
So really those two issues trump, and what makes it really interesting is when we provide So I've told you that P is we pray, E, we educate on these non-negotiables, T in Peter, we take action on these issues in legislation, which means that we either write letters, we make phone calls, or if we have to, we'll get out and do a tea party and go for a walk and do whatever it takes to make our voice known, because the squeaky wheel gets...
The squeaky wheel gets the grease, absolutely.
That's exactly right. And unfortunately, a small minority of people have been screaming and yelling while the Christians have just been raising their families. And we need to and I'll finish up with the rest of Peter.
Okay, and then I'd like you to maybe think of one or two stories of some of an issue that Salt and Light took on.
And
you got a successful story to share. We'll be right back. Projects don't just happen. Good projects are a result of a team of dedicated professionals, owners, architects, and contractors striving toward a common goal. Make OMP a part of your team. If you're looking for professional, knowledgeable experience for your construction project team, Oso Miller Pacific should be your first call. For over 20 years, Mark Miller has been providing project management and constructive services throughout San Diego and Southern California. As president of Oso Miller Pacific, Mark continues this tradition of providing the most professional services in the industry to the healthcare, commercial, and government construction markets. Oso Miller Pacific provides a full range of pre-construction services, including definition of needs, design team selection, concept budget generation, and construction services. This full range of services is what sets Oso Miller Pacific apart from its competition. Visit their website at osomillerpacific.com. That's www.osomillerpacific.com or call the offices at 619-449-0633. Again, the number is 619-449-0633. Good projects don't just happen. Call Oso Miller Pacific. This is Bob Siegel inviting you to tune in for the Rick Amato Show four nights a week here on 1170 KCBQ. Rick stays on top of the issues, local and national. He also does some of the most stimulating interviews you've ever heard. That's the Rick Amato Show, Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. You can also find Rick on AmatoTalk.com. Welcome back to our program. We're down to our last segment. I'm here with Dran Rees from the Salt and Light Council. Dran, before we continue, I want to thank you at this time, since we'll be right in the middle of something when it's time to go. Thank you so much for the work you do and for taking your time to be on our program. We'd love to have you on again sometime.
Thank you.
Very courageous woman, and I really believe in what your organization is doing.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
So we were talking about a story or two of something that Salt and Light Council took on, some issue on the radar that... obviously, Proposition 8 would be one example. I know you were involved with that. Are there some others that come to your mind?
Right. But before we do that, I have to finish my Peter.
Oh, that's right. You're in the middle of the Peter
acronym.
Right.
I was in the middle of Peter. Yes.
You don't want to interrupt Peter.
Pray for P. E, educate. T, take action. The other E is for the electoral process or elections, which means we get involved in those and how to vote. We provide information in a nonpartisan way. And R is for registering voters. Churches can register voters on a year-round basis. That is very legal to do. And what we're hoping is that all churches will begin to engage in voter registration now. People change addresses, they move, and that starts the beginning of the table on which we can start to put out information about the issues and items to take action on.
Okay, so anybody listening right now, if they wanted to, could get a Salt and Light ministry started at their church? How would they contact you? Let's have your website.
Sure, that would be Salt and Light Council. And that's council.org, saltandlightcouncil.org. And we do training. of churches or lay leaders. And what we're looking for, you can't start a ministry without unless it has pastoral approval. So that's number one. But if your pastor is not open to it yet, we provide the materials to you, which you can take to your pastor to begin to engage him in the process of understanding his legal rights and all that he's able to do. And they pastors have more rights than they know. It's pretty darn exciting that the pastors can start to go back in history, go back in time, back to the 1800s when the pastors were getting right up there and pretty much telling you who to vote for because morally, they were biblically sound candidates. So,
that's an interesting statement that pastors have more rights than they know, because I'm guessing a lot of pastors don't realize this. I'm guessing that we've been so inundated with terms like separation between church and state that they're unaware of what the law truly says.
Again, and this is the intimidation from the other side. They have been intimidated. There's not been one lawsuit that has ever been won from any church that has been leveled against them at all, ever. Ever, ever, ever. So pastors are free to speak all day long, as much as they want.
Wait, there's been no lawsuit leveled against the church that's ever been won?
Where they've lost their tax-exempt status.
Is that right?
That is right. And I don't believe that the churches know that. Their pastors are allowed to even give resources as long as it's considered an insubstantial amount. They're able to give 5 to 10% of their income that they receive to causes and legislation. As long, again, as it's an insubstantial amount of their overall budget, and they are more than able to put out the issues that are currently plaguing us in this nation out on tables. They're able to talk about them. And again, the fine line is that they're endorsing candidates. As long as they're not endorsing candidates, and these issues line up biblically, and we know so many different issues line up biblically. Let's face it, the stimulus package, that lines up biblically. Oh, no, man, anything. And look at us going into debt nationally. Hate crimes legislation, where that's an attack again on the family and our rights and our freedoms of speech.
Which is really about motive and freedom of speech and not so much about crime.
Exactly. So all of these issues the pastors need to speak up on, or truly they won't be able to speak up on them at all. And that is actually, we know that, one of the prophecies.
We're closer to that than we think.
Yes. So
a story of a time somebody approached Salt and Light Council, or an issue that was taken on?
Well, you asked of some of the successes that we've had. Well, Prop 8, there's a good one.
It is a good one.
Prop 8 is a very good one. All the Salt and Light ministries that were out there started to engage their individual groups. And on my personal email list at our church, we have 400 people, and we had a good percentage of those people out there making phone calls, knocking on doors, putting out banners. So Prop 8, we stake some claim in as well.
So you're kind of the Paul Revere going out as the town crier and getting everybody all organized.
I guess so. I hate the title, but but here's another good one. We called for a boycott of McDonald's because of their support of the homosexual agenda. And that was one of our issues that we took on along with the other Salt and Light ministries.
I hadn't heard about this one, and this was a successful boycott?
This was a successful boycott.
What did they do? Did they issue a public statement? They issued
a public statement and withdrew their funding of the whatever campaign it was involved in. And so that was a major success. And so we can all go to McDonald's again.
I'll bet the gay activists just went ballistic when that happened.
Well, I don't know about that, but I don't know how they felt about it, but I hate to say it, they're really in their heart just very misguided, and we just pray that they will back off on family institutions. You know, this is what our job is to stop people from nuking the nuclear family. I'm reading another book called Taking Back America by Joseph Farah, which I highly recommend as well, because it will give you the courage to know that, you know what, if we stand up, if we really do take action, we can reclaim America. Don't lose heart out there. Do not lose heart. If we lay down and do nothing, well, then we deserve what we get. But if we see the issues and we actually take action, then society will change. And if we have thousands of churches through, let's say, the Salt and Light Council doing this together, then we will make a difference. And in fact, in California, we will no longer be defined by San Francisco. We will be defined as a family state. And they're nuking the family. I mean, here, you know, alternative lifestyles. In fact, even in our educational system.
Well, the time went by far too quickly. Dran Reese, we'll have you on our show again. Thank you so much for your time. I will see you next week, everybody. You are always welcome. Your questions are welcome as well.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.